We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Wake that ass up early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Yep, right. Charlamagne Tha God, Jess Hilarious. We are The Breakfast Club. Envy is not here at the moment, but we have a special guest in the building. He's been here before a couple of times. Jordan Belfort.
What's up?
Hello.
What's up? How's everybody?
Good, how are you, sir?
You guys are looking good today.
Yeah. Hey, thank you.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Listen, recovering, got a big surgery about 3 weeks ago, rotator cuff, right?
Okay.
And did grabs. I had to take muscle from my lats and my pecs. A big deal, but
oh, wow.
I'm on the mend there, so I'm solid as a rock. I'm ready to roll. Rehab, starting rehab.
How do you do that?
And I do it.
Yeah.
A lot of golf, weightlifting, and I wrestled in college, and I just had 3 surgeries before this. It was just like totally wasted.
So wear and tear.
Yeah, wear and tear.
Yeah.
You know, Jess has never met you before, but she did see the Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes. And you're the real.
I'm the real Wolf. Retired Wolf. You know, I'm a more benevolent Wolf. Yeah, it was a great movie, and the thing with that movie was interesting for me is that like that those events took place 30 years ago, but like because the movie came out in 2013, and it's still on TV. People are like, "Oh, that happened like 3 weeks ago, right?" Like,
yeah.
Like is your daughter still 3 years old? My daughter's 30.
Right.
I have a grandson, so it's pretty funny, you know.
I don't think I ever asked you where you got the wolf from. Where did the wolf come from?
Believe it or not, the wolf came from a show. You ever watch Gilligan's Island?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so
the
character Thurston Howell III, his nickname was the Wolf of Wall Street. So it was like a joke about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Uh-huh.
So about the movie, how much of it was like real events? Like was a lot, was any of it add-ons or like?
So I would say like, listen, 90% of it was true. And the stuff, and my life was probably even more insane because it was stuff that you just couldn't put on screen. It would be X-rayed. You know,
I bet.
Right? But the stuff that wasn't true, like, was a lot of like characters. Well, like they would collapse 3 people's actions into one character. Like the Danny character Danny did it, right? You know, that was the Donnie Jonah Hill character, right? And they moved the timeline around. But by and large, it was really accurate, you know?
Wow.
You got a new book out called The Wolf of Investing. Came out fall of last year. Insider's Playbook for Making a Fortune on Wall Street.
Yeah.
And you know, the first thing people will say is, why should we listen to him?
It's a good question.
Why should we take any tips from him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good question. I think that, you know, on some level, you know, who better to expose what's going on Wall Street, and someone that made the mistakes was part of it on the inside. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's funny. People say, you know, why don't you ever write about the stock market? And I never did before. So all my books about before this have been about sales or my life story, right? But, you know, obviously I have massive knowledge about Wall Street. I ran one of the largest firms on Wall Street in the 90s in the you know, IPO market. Mm. But I never thought of writing a book. But I think over the last, since I started going out in 2008 around the world and teaching sales and entrepreneurship, ethical sales, and I really helped millions and millions of people. And I think I rebuilt my reputation to the point where I have a very large fan base who trust me, and I've helped so many people. Like, when I walk around, people say, you changed my life. As I walk around, people always say, you changed my life. You know, I went into this business course, I have entrepreneurship. And I felt that it was like, you know, I felt comfortable enough. So, you know, I'm going to talk about investing. And when I started writing the book, I mean, I wrote what I consider to be the purest book of investing. It's so, like, unarguably the right way for someone to get wealthy in the stock market. It's the exact opposite of everything I did back. By the way, it's like the opposite of what I did when I actually went to jail. Like, I was, you know, manipulating stocks. It's smaller stocks. The advice I'm giving in this book is really, honestly, it's for any person of any age. Obviously, the younger you start, the better. But the thesis is as follows. There's nothing in here that's revolutionary. It's just, I wrote it in a really funny, I kind of laugh out loud, irreverent way, so people would kind of turn the page and made it into a story. Mm-hmm. Because the truth is, the best advice for investing is out there.
Yeah.
There's nothing you have to, it's like I didn't do some analysis, like, oh, eureka, I have this way. It's not like that, okay?
Really? Even with all this new stuff like Bitcoin and, you know, things like that?
So, in the book, I there's two main investments I talk about. Mm-hmm. One is the S&P 500, which is an index. Mm-hmm. And so instead of buying just a random stock and trying to trade in and out, which is a sucker's game, by the way, right? And what really bothers me, and I have this big thing about CNBC in there and how they basically are like the worst thing that could ever happen to the average investor. Because if you watch the CNBC, you'll think you can trade in and out of stocks short term and make money. And the fact is that the scientific academic studies going back to 1900 that says it's virtually impossible to beat the S&P. It's just like there's a few people that can do it, right? And they're not taking it. It's like Warren Buffett, a few others, very few. No one could beat the S&P by and large, right? But if you watch the show, you'll think that's the best way to trade, go from oil into crypto, from crypto into tech stocks, from tech stock into commodity, and you're not going to make money that way, right? Mm-hmm. So that one investment is the S&P. And I wrote the book, I think when I wrote the book, the S&P was like 3,800, now it's 5,000, right? I also said Bitcoin's a good investment, but small, like 5 to 10% of your portfolio, right? The largest should be, I think, the S&P. And at the time, it was 22,000, now it's 73,000. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't, like, the fact that I was right is irrelevant, because it just as easily could have been down in 1 year. Yeah. In other words, you can't look at investing as a 1 year proposition. Mm-hmm. When I wrote that, I said, listen, Bitcoin right now is 20 something. I think it's going higher, but it could be going lower. But I think in 5 to 10 years from now, it's massively higher. And the S&P was 3,800, and it might go to 3,600, maybe it's at 4,000. I didn't think it would go to 5,000, it's at 5,000 plus now. So I look up like a genius, but that's not true. It could have easily been down. Mm-hmm. So you can't invest and worry about the price the next week, the next month, or even the next year. I believe the best way, especially people in their 30s, 20s, 30s, 40s, even 50s, right? You have to take a long-term horizon and rely on what's called compounding. So with the S&P 500, the idea is that, you know, you take the profits and you just let it, as it compounds and you get your dividends, you reinvest the dividends, you let the compound over time, even though it only returns 10% a year. So you say to yourself, like, well, 10% a year, how do I get rich on 10% a year, right? If I put in $30,000, $3,000, what does that do for me, right? But what you don't realize is that the next year you have $33,000. And if it compounds, then you have a bit more. That compounding, after it gets like 20 years, goes parabolic. So like literally, if you invested like $30,000 in the S&P, and let's just go back 30 years, let's say 30 years ago, 4 years ago, right? $30,000 and put $200 a week in, you'd have like $25 million now. Mm-hmm. It's like, and I just made that number up, so I could be off by 5 or 10 million. But you have a massive amount of millions of dollars, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the trap that people fall into when they invest is they say, I only have $5,000 or $10,000. I got to make a huge hit. I have to time the market. So they get trapped in trying to do a short-term trade, or they go on margin, they get blown out, and you can start with a small amount and end up with a huge amount if you have patience. That's what the book is about.
Yeah, so the key is patience.
Patience, basically. And also that, you know, you're not going to beat the S&P 500. So the cornerstone of your portfolio should be this. And there's no fees attached. So you put your money in, you let it ride. So it's like set it and forget it. It's passive investing,
that's
right?
My accountant said, don't even put it in there. Don't look at it.
You can't. Don't pay attention.
You can't because the trap is that, you know, you think that, you know, well, the market's going to, we'll have a bear market. Okay, fair enough. You can have a bear market. But buying, you go back historically, it always goes up over 30 years. Mm-hmm. So listen, it's possible the United States could be destroyed, but we have bigger problems than your portfolio, right? So that's the essence of the book. And also, I go through a very, very damning history, historically about Wall Street, how it got so fucked up, okay? Mm-hmm. I go through that in detail, and it's pretty wild when you read, like, why is it that, like, you know, firms get away with murder. I mean, you guys know what's going on. I know you know, like the bigger firms, like, I mean, they're engaged in massive fraud, but they also serve a very useful purpose. So they have like this kind of the yin and yang.
What's the purpose?
The purpose is without the big firms, the economy would not run. You need to have brokerage firms and banks to provide credit, to give money to companies to go public, to do analysis of companies to see which ones deserve money, to keep orderly markets. In other words, you need capital markets and you need a functional banking system to lend money, to raise money, to deploy money, right?
How much longer do you think we'll have that? Because I've been hearing rumors of potential bank crashes.
Well, but you know, here's the thing. In the U.S., there won't be bank. They'll just buy them
up.
They'll always bail them out. There's no way. So even like when you hear all this stuff, like there was all this noise back maybe 6 months ago, and I'm like, there's no way they're going to let even the big one in Silicon Valley Bank, where it was a lot of money, and they acted very irresponsibly, right? Although they just got bad luck and irresponsibility, right? But you knew the government was going to not let the depositors, because if that happened, I mean, shit. Like, you know, it would be so bad. Well, what happened is that everyone would take their money out of the small local banks, and all you would have is the big four or five banks out there, right? So I don't really think that's an issue. But what happens is that when you look at the success of the United States economically, it's based, I think, on two things. Number one, a really well-ordered capital markets, liquid cash, and also that the dollar is the reserve currency. That's a much bigger threat, I think. Like the dollar right now is you know, kind of losing its luster around the world. And if the dollar ever loses it completely, that would be a disaster for the U.S.
Yeah. You think it's possible? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So with this crash course that you just gave me, because I, you know, I'm into it, but I ain't really into it like that. I just learned a lot. You only been in here for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a waste of time to even go to college or to take class on and stuff? Like, you know?
So I think, listen, that college is two sides to it. I have two children, right? Okay. And a step as well, right? If you want to be professional, doctor, a lawyer, or something else, like my daughter's a psychologist, right, where a license is required, and I think, of course, you should go to college and go down the path and do whatever courses you got to take to get licensed. And now you want to be an accountant, a lawyer, right? That's one thing, right? Mm-hmm. If you have no entrepreneurial side to you and you want to go and get an MBA or something, well, you can do that. But if you're someone else that like is going to do either into the trades, or you want to be an entrepreneur, music, like my son's a musician in music, right? I don't think there's any reason to go to college. I think college is a complete waste of time with ridiculously, you know, pumped up tuitions that are just asinine, if you ask me. So I would never recommend someone to go to college unless they want to choose that path. Mm-hmm. For my daughter, it made sense. For my son, it didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, but for investing, for you, like I said in a few minutes, it's so easy to manage your money because you don't need a money manager.
Right.
And you don't need a financial planner except for your taxes, right? You just buy most of your money. 80% should be in the S&P 500. You take 10%, you put into a bond fund. It's all in the book, right?
Yeah.
Bonds are like fixed income. So just to smooth out the returns over the years. And then the rest, and by the way, the rest you can speculate with. You can have fun. There's nothing wrong with taking 5 or 10% of your money and taking some flyers on whatever that means. Bitcoin, you want to trade a short-term stock, but the problem is if you don't set aside any money for risk capital, then you might start using a lot more than 5 or 10%. But like, if you do that, in 30 years, you'd just be shocked at how much money you ended up with simply from a 10% return. Like, and some years it's going to lose 12%, yeah. but then like last year it made 27%, right? Mm-hmm. It averages out. And basically it's like a set and forget, can't go wrong investment. And some level, like you brought a good point up in the beginning, like why trust me? On some level, it was like when I wrote the book, it was like my kind of making right what I felt like, because I have a really young audience. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I said, if every kid reads this book, the amount of money they're going to save themselves by not getting suckered in, it's like to these, high margin where you borrow money against your positions, which kids do all the time. It's a freaking disaster, right? So I figured it was a kind of my gift back to everybody. I think the book really was that, and I think I succeeded. You know,
I like what you said there, because even when we talk about politics and you know whether it's a politician like President Biden who's done things like the 86 mandatory minimum sentencing, 88 crack laws, 94 crime bill, people are asking him now, since you're in the position of power you're in, right? Those wrongs.
Yeah.
Right, some of those wrongs. Should. So that's what it feels like you're attempting to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I've been doing that for like, you met me when we met in the last time with the sales stuff, right? Yeah. That book was hugely successful, you know? And again, when I walk, I'll tell you what, it's the greatest thing to walk around the world, and it's all over the world, and people come up to you and say, you changed my life.
Yeah.
You made my life better. Or like also, by the way, it's just that even if they haven't read anything, I did just the movie itself, like the idea that a comeback. Like, I really, is it okay to curse you?
Yeah.
I really fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, I really fucked up. And I was one of those people who said, I'm fucking guilty. Like, I never tried to like minimize what I did.
That's right.
Right? That's right. Like, when you're in jail, everyone's like, I'm innocent. I got frapped. I'm like, no, I'm fucking guilty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Guilty, right? So, And of course, I felt like shit about it, right? And people lost money. I paid back a ton of money, the whole thing, right? And but I'll tell you what: the people, a lot of young people, older people too, they see what happened to my life and how successful I am now, and they're like, it gives them hope. And it's part of also my message. Like, it doesn't matter. We all make mistakes, and you could either, there's two things: you could either be defined by your mistakes. Right? Like, you can become your mistakes. I screwed up. I'm a bad person. So I guess I'm bad now. That's who I am. Or you can learn from your mistakes and get stronger and change. And like, cause when you have pain like that, it's an impetus to change. Right?
Yeah.
And as long as you're willing to put one foot in front of the other and do the hard work. And also, I work really, really hard. I'm a hard worker. Always have been. Right? It doesn't matter where you are, how low you've fallen in life. You could always turn it around. It's up to you. You know what I'm saying? And also, part of that is learning specific skill sets. So, for example, like with the sales book, right? That's like, sales is a skill that you need. No matter what you do, you're always trying to not even sell, just communicate your ideas, your hopes, your dreams, the value that you have. It doesn't matter what line of work you're in. You could be a mother trying to convince your kids to make their beds in the morning. Mm-hmm. You could be a teacher trying to convince your children of the value of doing their homework or just education in general. You could be a pastor trying to influence your congregation. You could be, God forbid, a politician trying to influence people to vote for you, right? But in any line of work, that communication is critical, mission critical. And I think what happens in any field, like in what you guys do, there's certain skill sets that you've honed over the years. You work really hard to get to where you are. Mm-hmm. If you're an engineer, there's certain skill sets required to that. If you start a business, you need to know certain entrepreneurial skills. A lot of times people, they have the vision, they know what they want to do, but they're not willing to learn the skills they need to succeed at it. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big believer in, like, it's not just hard work. It's actually, there's going to be some, that whatever you're trying to do in life, there's going to be a mission critical skill that you have to perfect. And whether it's the 10,000 hours or whatever, how many hours it takes, or being mentored by someone and not trying to jump ahead, which is, by the way, a mistake I made very young. I didn't use mentors correctly. I had the wrong one. And you pick up bad habits, right? But if you want to put the hard work in, it doesn't matter how low you form, anybody can turn it around, I believe, and at least, not even rich, but do really well in life.
Yeah.
You know? And this book, I guess, is sort of like the, and I hate writing, by the way. Do you write?
Yeah, I write.
I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, I have somebody who writes with me, but I write. Like, my third book comes out in May.
Yeah. So, and that's awesome. This is my fourth book, and I write alone, right? I don't have a ghostwriter at all. It doesn't help me. I hate it, but like, I love having written, right? The best thing is when the book is done, right?
Absolutely.
It's a great feeling. So, this is my fourth book, and, I think this would be my, no, I don't know, I think it's my, maybe I got one more book to me.
Yeah.
But I gotta, it's a grind when you do it though,
Definitely
you know?
Grind.
But, you know? So, yeah, I think the book is gonna really help anyone who reads it. That's my,
And you know, people don't realize you actually paid people back. You paid the people that you...
I did. Right. Listen, I expect, yeah. Well, the problem I had is that it was really weird because I had this huge fine, right? But it didn't represent the people who lost money. It was just like the people who lost money was much less. And then like, you know, I don't want to get into this. It's a whole subject, but like, you know, because it annoys you. But, you know, I got some letter, some report from the trustee or from the bankruptcy of the whole firm. And it said like they had extra money left over. They couldn't find any more people to pay back. And yet I still kept paying back for 20 more years. But that's spilled milk. I never resented it. I'm, you know what? Here's the truth. I think there's two ways to live life. One is to get bitter and to have resentment and to want revenge. I'm just not like that. I never hold grudges about anybody or anything. And I look forward, not backwards. And, you know, right now, I'm very fortunate. I'm fortunate. A lot of people don't get a second chance.
Right.
So when you do get a second chance like I did, and then, you know, the movie was so awesome, right? You know, you have to respect that and cherish that and also honor that and not fuck up again. So, like, I'm really, really careful. So
we're not getting the Wolf of Wall Street 2.
Yeah. So I met Leo and I, we ended up on the same boat somewhere about 2 years ago, and we were kidding around how great the movie was. And, like, and you know, he said something really great. He goes, you know, I've never seen Marty so happy.
On a, Martin Scorsese.
Scorsese on a movie set.
We don't know him by Martin.
I know Martin. Yeah, Martin Scorsese, right? He goes, I never seen Martin Scorsese so happy on a movie set. He goes, like, usually he's much more serious. He was laughing his ass off and just had such. And the movie reflects Marty's like humor of it. Like Marty was having a great time. He goes, okay. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, but there's no going to be no sequel. Your life is way too boring. You're too good now. You're not doing drugs anymore. This is my, right now, you know, this is my Red Bull's my instead of cocaine, you know,
right.
Which is not as strong, by the way, you know, but it's more sustainable.
Is it true that Donald Trump crashed the Wolf of Wall Street set?
I read this. It's possible. Where did I read that? Was that
Kristen Milioti said it? Kristen Milioti.
Yeah.
You know, she was a cast member.
Yeah. She played my first wife, by the way. Mm. Whose real name was Denise.
He said right. So not.
Yeah. Okay. She said she crashed. He said Donald Trump crashed the set and acted a damn fool.
Well, you know, there you go, right?
Well, did you hear Martin Scorsese compare Donald Trump to you?
No, what did he say?
Come on, stop, man.
Do you know?
He just said he sees similarities.
Can I tell you something? Do you know that I don't read anything about myself ever?
Really?
No comments. No. I never. Because I don't have Google or nothing because I think that, for me at least, right? I know in my heart that I do good shit. Mm-hmm. I know it. I know everything I do. I'm on, like, I'm giving more value than I'm getting in money. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or at least I'm trying, by the way, right? So, like, and there's haters out there in this world.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of shit can be made up.
I'm sure you have tons of haters. You must.
Everybody loves me.
Oh, what?
Yeah. You got to have some, you know. And by the way, and the haters drive engagement, which is great, by the way.
So,
like, I just let them, like, in the beginning, I used to look, I'd fight with them. Mm-hmm. What you know, they're saying, oh, how could you listen to this guy after?
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is just ridiculous. Like, if Jesus Christ was today and he gave the sermon on the Temple Mount, people would say, what an idiot. Nothing new there. Like,
that's right.
Yeah. No matter who you are, they're going to hate on you. So I just don't read anything about myself. Because even my wife was like, yeah, this is a great article. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I don't want, if someone tells me I'm so great, I don't want to know about it. I know who I am.
Yeah.
I know my good, my bad, and my ugly, and the whole thing. Mm. And each day I try to be as good a person as I can. Right. And if you read comments, you can go freaking crazy.
So
what was this about Donald Trump?
He said Martin Scorsese was in London at a film festival, and he said the panel's moderator, Edgar Wright, played a clip from Wolf of Wall Street, and he said, some of your films, people are punished for their sins. In Wolf of Wall Street, they're celebrated, Wright said to Scorsese, who likened Belfort to Trump in his reply. He says, politically, the country they elected Trump, it's about kill, go get the money, do anything you want. You can't do anything to me. When he's saying I don't have to pay taxes to a certain extent because I have smart lawyers, he's right. It's true. It's legal. Doesn't mean it's right, but it's legal, Scorsese said to the former president's multiple indictments.
Yeah.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I'd push back on that a little bit. I'll tell you why. Because I suffered the consequences from my actions. I lost everything. I did not leave jail with any money. I was broke. I started from scratch, and my comeback started with money I received from the Wolf of Wall Street book, and half of it went to pay back investors. It was 50% went to investors. So it was really very, I had really tough years in the beginning. So I pushed back on that. And also, I think that, I really try hard not to be a polarizing figure. I really do. And I don't know if that's good. In the beginning, there was, a few years ago, I was a bit more polarizing. Like, cause it was things that would bother me about COVID, you know? And I said, you know what? I said, stop. I don't want to stop my position. I'm here to help people, to give entrepreneurial advice, stock, yeah, and whatever. And I just don't want to, I just stopped. So like, you know, and it, admittedly my engagement dropped it when you stop being as controversial. But, you know, I think, listen, I think you could love Trump or you could hate Trump, but I mean, it is shocking that it seems the more bad things they say about him, the more people embrace him. I can't quite figure that
eventually
out.
Basically, it's all got to catch up, though.
Yeah, right? But it's shock. I've never seen. I thought, like, the first time, even before he got elected in 2016, like, when that thing with the tape grab, I think, oh, this guy's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, this guy's done. And then when he came out and he was, like, saying, he just completely, like, nothing. I was like, what a stupid. And I was like, holy shit, it actually worked.
But eventually, it's going to all crash.
Yeah, right? Well, yeah.
That you like, when have we ever seen it not?
I know.
Like, it's inevitable. Yeah. You said you like Trump, but you said he was a great president.
Listen, I think that Trump, the president, all I can say is the world when Trump was president, there was no wars. Now, some of that could be coincidental. Mm-hmm. Like, some of it's just luck, right? But there was peace. There was energy. We're energy independent. I thought, you know, regulations were sort of less intrusive on business. Mm-hmm. And he was an asshole. Like, yeah. he divided people, but, you know, like, in other words, like, so he had his personality was so abrasive, and I was like, what are you, like, just stick to the fucking policies, which were working. Immigration was tight at the border, and I believe those, and I'm pro him. My parents, my great-grandparents, and my grandparents were immigrants, right? So it's not that I'm anti-immigrant, of course, I think, but legal immigrants, and there's a problem with that, because the immigration system screwed up. Mm-hmm. That needs to change also, but I think the country was in a much better spot. Except for the fact that he pissed so many people off in the process, and part of the being a great president is trying to unite and not divide. So, you know, but I have to say, as a president, the country was in a better spot. I think the world was in a better spot, and I think Biden is mentally has mental decline. I think he's almost senile. Yeah. I wouldn't quite say senile, but although I would say that this whole thing about the Hur report, right, is nonsense. Mm-hmm. Like, Stewart had a great piece on this. So, like, the biggest thing that causes amnesia is being deposed. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone has got amnesia under when they're being deposed by someone, right?
Especially if you got something to hide.
Did you see the stuff in Georgia? Like, that lawyer?
Yeah.
He couldn't remember anything. I don't remember. What happened yesterday? I don't know.
your lawyer preps you to do
right.
That way.
So, like, yeah. I think it's a bit unfair. Like, I think it's more serious of the flubs he makes when he can't remember stuff and loses his track
on. Trump does that too, though.
Yeah. But not as bad, though. Mm-hmm. And not as bad. It's not as bad.
I think it just depends what highlight reel you're watching.
But seriously, I don't think it's fair to the Hur report. It's like, he's under I don't remember what they, I don't know, right? So it's unfair. But listen, the country will decide, but I think whatever happens in the election, and I'm not a fan of Biden. I don't think you are either. I think, I just sincerely hope if Trump gets elected, I hope he learns from the mistakes of like dividing and saying shit that is inflammatory. And if you can just check that, you know, I think he's already went
too far past that, though. Like, when you try to lead an attempted coup of this country, which you said was just a moment of foolishness.
So, yeah.
Which two things can be true.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a moment of foolishness to try to lead an attempted coup.
I think it was a riot, you know. I look differently at it, because, like, they weren't armed. Then you see a real coup, you know, people come in with guns, and it's organized
They'll get it right the next time. This is just practice.
I think it was an ugly moment. Obviously, it was terrible and disgusting for the country, right?
And he said we should rip up the Constitution to overthrow the results of an election.
Yeah.
His lawyers said that he never agreed to support the Constitution. Yeah. You really want somebody who don't believe in the Constitution to be the leader of the free
world? Listen, I'm going to tell you something that I was the first person to say this. You go back to my social media because I have a big video on it, right? I'm going to repost this, but right after he lost, and everyone's saying it's fraud, they stole the, I'm like, no, it's not. It's not. There's no fraud. Okay, there's fraud in every election, but that's just whatever. There's regular fraud, and there always is, right? But no more than usual, right? Trump lost the election because the Democrats played an amazing game of mail-in voting and ballot harvesting legally. Like, you can legally, the way they were doing it is they had all this early voting, and Trump said, on the day of the election, go, you know, don't do mail-in voting. So what happens is you have the Democrats have 30 days before ballots are sitting at everyone's desk. on everyone's house, the coffee table. People are knocking on the doors. You fill out your ballot, get your ballot. You get it. And there's commercials running. So you have 30 days of voting on one side. And then the Republicans are basically showing up on Election Day. Mm-hmm. You're not going to win like that. And that's why Biden got – how did he get 80 million votes? Because it was all – it's easy to do mail-in voting. So they took advantage of what was happening. It was legal. So I don't think the election was stolen in any way. I think they just were much smarter and more effective at harvesting ballots. And that's the new game.
And nobody talks about the – well, we don't talk enough about the series of unfortunate events that year was. You had COVID. You had George Floyd.
Yeah, it was.
You
know, yeah,
it was a
that
lot.
That year was a disaster.
Yeah. I don't think President Biden wins the election if all of that's not going on.
Yeah. So again, and I think the worst thing of it all is that there's two people that, like, I mean, I don't think anyone really. I would like to see two different people running.
Absolutely.
I mean, right? So, like, you know, I mean, 80 and 78. It's not even the age. Listen, it's not age. My mother's 91, and she's sharp as a fucking tack, my mother. Okay. All right? Like, really sharp.
She shouldn't be president.
Yeah, right.
She
shouldn't be president, though, right?
Listen,
you know, honestly, even, like, I'm 61 years old now, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm as sharp as when I was 45. Mm-hmm. Now, I have more wisdom and experience, and I think that's important. So I'm certainly have enough acuity to be president if I'm not running, trust me, right? Mm-hmm. But the point is, I think that when you get into your 70s and I don't know, I don't think you're not the person you are. I think there should be, you know, certainly some at least mental acuity test. Yeah. And also the job ages you. I mean, so I think it's pretty sad that at this point we have an 80-year-old and 70, it's 81 and 77 or 78, right? Mm-hmm. That's the best we can do.
I'm done with this fucking politics shit.
I know.
Okay? So, your ex-wife, right? Nadine. Or is it didn't you say, no. Nadine.
Nadine, yeah.
Is she still upset? It said that she's still upset. She's still upset and that you haven't given her an apology.
For what?
She feels like you owe her one. I was going to ask you, you know that. Is it because, are you still upset that she posted something about, like posted details about you guys' relationship?
No. Ooh, you're into the personal stuff here.
A little bit.
No, listen, we have two children together, mm-hmm. right? And we've always gotten along really well over the years, right? But she said some stuff that wasn't true.
Got it.
Okay? And not that it's not true, but she's playing the victim, okay? As if she was the innocent flower and I corrupted her. And it's just like, listen, I'm never going to minimize the mistakes. I was a drug addict. I was wild, okay? And I really never cheated on her that much. I was with hookers mostly. And I know that's, some people have different opinions on that.
But not like real life relationships.
I know. But she had an affair with the she was banging the trainer. Okay. So like, and by the way, I did four Quaaludes a day. She would do one a day. Mm-hmm. She was doing drugs with me as well.
Yeah.
And I said to her, your message would be more powerful if you didn't make yourself a victim in this whole thing.
Yeah.
You're part of it. And it takes two to tango. And that was my only thing, was the positioning herself as a victim.
Yeah.
Because she was a very sophisticated young girl, okay, who knew exactly what was going on the whole time. And
did you have an open relationship?
No, okay. No.
They were just cheating on each other.
Cheating. She cheated too.
Yeah.
And she did drugs too. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot more. And you know, I had to go to rehab. She didn't. So I have listen, I
she had one Quaalude, one penis. You had multiple Quaaludes. It doesn't matter.
Listen, I was so out of control in the drug department.
Doesn't
but
matter.
I think my point was, and we already made peace in this whole thing, right?
Yeah.
But I said to, I think your message would be far more powerful if you take some ownership for your role in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Versus trying to say you're a victim. I think that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think victimhood works for anybody. I think it's much better if you take responsibility for your own mistakes that you made. Mm-hmm. And I think it makes your message more powerful.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think there's a difference between victimhood and when somebody actually did you dirty and there should be some atonement for it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because
mm-hmm. you wouldn't call anybody that you got over on when you was the wolf a victim. I mean, they were victims, but you wouldn't tell them that victimhood don't work for them. Because they're just telling the truth.
Yeah. But anything that I would ever apologize to my ex-wife about, I've apologized many, many times, long before, like while we were getting divorced. And over the years, we were very close for many years after. Very close, you know? We always got along really well. And I just didn't like, it was like such this weird thing of saying things that were just blatantly untrue, like that, like online to try to get clickbait stuff, you know?
Right.
And it really wasn't that I never read it. ever. I don't read anything online. But I have a new wife who reads it.
Yeah, I'm sure she brought it to you at dinner.
And that's, yeah. And that was really what it was about. And also we have children together. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was inappropriate, you know? But she does what she wants, and she apologized to me for that as well. And
amazing.
I think that she stopped doing it, and we get along well now, so, you know? And I hold. I wish her nothing but the best, by the way.
I love that.
You know, she's the mother of my children. She was a great mom. Mm-hmm. She really was. She was a great mom. Mm-hmm. And I think she always says I was a great dad. I hope she says that, right?
No, she never said saying, no, I'm joking. Yeah.
No, I'm saying she was joking, a great, I'm joking. I was a great mom, you know? And we have two amazing kids together.
Yeah. Amazing. Woof. Love it.
I got a couple more questions just about the investing in Wall Street. You said earlier that America could be destroyed.
Right.
And there's a lot of people who feel like America is on the decline, right? Do you think America, the American economy, is still a wise investment?
I would never bet against the American economy. I think the American economy is still a great investment. And by the way, when you're buying the S&P 500, mm-hmm. right, that's what you're buying. You're buying the American economy. It's the mm-hmm. 500 biggest companies, right, that drive the American economy. What I was referring to before, I think the danger, and I think it was a huge, if there's one major mistake the Biden administration made, was freezing Russia out of the monetary system. Okay, freezing Russian sovereign assets, cutting them off from SWIFT, was a huge blunder. Because all it did was drove them into this other system. They're trying to do this BRICS system.
Yeah, I saw that.
Right? So it makes other countries, so wait a second, so we're using the dollar as our reserve currency and you don't like us. You're going to freeze our sovereign assets and cut us off? So it's a reason for other countries to run away from the dollar.
So it's Brazil, Russia, India, China,
correct.
South Africa. They're all looking to establish this new reserve currency.
To compete with the dollar, right?
Yeah.
And by the fact that the dollar is a reserve, you don't know how, I mean, you do know, I'm sure. It's so important for the economy because it allows us, the only reason we can keep printing money and have this huge deficit is because everyone around the world sucks up these extra dollars. Mm-hmm. My wife's Argentinian. Mm-hmm. When I go to Argentina, everyone is, it's all in dollars. Everything's being collected in dollars. Right? Transactions are all in dollars, the big ones, right? So without that around the world, we wouldn't be living the standalone that we have. So the dollar is just so important, and I think to drive Russia, do whatever you want, but to drive them out of the system, it just made them start buying yen. And now they were China, right? Didn't make any sense to me, and it didn't. And the Russians aren't suffering right now. Their economy, I think, is doing pretty well because they're selling oil still. I mean, like, it didn't matter. You know, I'm not pro-Russia. I've gone to Russia many times. The Russian people are the most amazing people. I love them. Mm-hmm. The Russian people. My biggest event was in Moscow, 32,000 people.
Wow.
And it's a beautiful city. I love Russian people. Hate that the war's happening. I've been to Ukraine, Kiev, 3 times.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Love the Ukrainian people, right? But to sanction them with freezing their assets and just making them, and eventually they'll get the money back when the war's over, right? But to do that, drove them out of the system. I think that's stupid.
Could the dollar collapse?
I don't think it collapses unless there's some sort of, like, you know, black swan event, like an EMP pulse that knocks everything out. I don't know. I don't think it happens like that. I think it's more a slow decline where you start to see that the dollar now maybe becomes, you know, 50% of the global currency of the world transactions versus 85, whatever it is, 80s, in the 80s somewhere, maybe a little bit lower. And it used to be like 95. It is already starting to unwind, right?
Oof.
But I don't think it happens. And I could be wrong, but I don't think it happens in the next 20 years. In other words, in a one day it's just done. I don't think it happens that way, but I could be wrong.
Wall Street, right? How can someone extract the benefits of Wall Street without being drawn into the dark side of it?
Right. Yeah, so that's a great question. So the dark side is putting on CNBC, right? And listening to the pundits and thinking that you can speculate and short-term trade, like buying a stock today at $30 and sell it at 32. Number one, human beings by nature are the worst stock pickers in the world. Mm-hmm. And listening to a stockbroker is like idiotic. And I'll tell you why. It's the Wall Street investing is the one exception to the rule that we all have grown up with, that if you want to get the best result, seek out an expert to help you get the best result. Mm-hmm. So for example, if the pipes in your house crack and you have a leak, I suggest you call a plumber, a licensed plumber, to fix your pipes. Don't try to fix them yourself. You're going to get a much better result. It's worth the $300 to get your pipes fixed. If your electricity shorts out, all right, call an electrician. Don't go yourself and try to fix it. You'll get electrocuted, right? Mm-hmm. Much better result, worth the $500, right? If you're sick, you need surgery, don't try to cut. Can you cut me open here? Go to the doctor, a licensed professional, the expert, to get you surgery and get you healthy, right? That works in all professions except investing. Mm-hmm. It's the one exception where the people that manage money and give you advice don't get you a better result. They get you a worse result than if you did it yourself by simply buying the S&P 500. They're all trying to beat the S&P 500, and they never do. Now, again, there's a few of them that do. They're not taking your money. They're trading for multi-billionaires, and it's a closed market. And then you have the rest of these so-called hedge fund managers. Those are the rock stars that can beat the market, right? And the rest of the people bask in the afterglow, and their returns suck. When they take their 20% performance bonus, their 2% matching, you're not going to beat the S&P 500. You'll do much worse. So it's so simple for an investor to get the value of Wall Street, right? So Wall Street takes all these companies public, and if they do well, they end up in the S&P 500. So if you own the S&P 500, you get to extract all the benefits, and you don't play into all the nonsense, the noise about short-term trading, the latest sector. It's just all the fancy leverage products. It's just a waste of time. And this is not me. I didn't come up with this. Warren Buffett says the same exact thing. Yeah. He gives the same. All the people really are sincere. Even a sincere money manager, he'll say, just buy the fucking S&P 500 and hold it. And if you want to smooth that, you could buy a little bonds in there as well. I hate bonds, but still, the formula says you should buy some bonds as well. I talk about that in the book. But really, the S&P, it's so simple. So that's how you extract the value out of Wall Street. You buy the S&P, open up an account at Vanguard or BlackRock. They all have these accounts. There's no expenses. Mm-hmm. You could buy it in one trade, and then every month put a little bit of money in. And don't worry if it's up or down. If it's down, great. If it's up, great. That doesn't matter. Because over the long term, it's going to compound at like 10.2% is the average. And it's like over 100 years, right? It's going to keep doing the same thing, and no guarantees, but it's pretty much like that's what it's going to do. And if you keep making small investments and reinvest your dividends, it grows so dramatically. In the beginning, it's slow, but after 10, 15, and 20 years, it starts to skyrocket. Yeah. So you could end up with literally millions and millions of dollars, even if you don't have millions of dollars to invest. That's how you extract value from Wall Street. And don't play into the bullshit. If you receive newsletters or stock tips, just not wipe that shit out, except if you want to speculate and have some fun. But that money is like casino money. Mm-hmm. That's the secret. It's really simple. And in the book, really explains how to do it, a little bit more about the taxes and stuff. And it's a great read.
Did you bring one?
Exactly.
He's got some. Yeah. He's got the one around here. Where's the wolf of investing?
I got it in here somewhere.
No, he's keeping that one at home for himself. I don't see it.
I have one at home. I'll find it. I have a couple in here, actually.
I can't carry because of my arm right now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. You got a whole nother arm.
I was out there saying, I'm a book today,
It's Jordan Belfort.
But I love The Breakfast Club. I'm a fan. I listen to The Breakfast Club, and your career is awesome. I love the most? How freaking honest you are about politics. Mm-hmm. That you're not like just a shill.
No.
And I really respect that. More than you could imagine, I respect that. Because there's nothing more than I hate when I watch TV and there's people just shilling for the Democratic Party. Balls honest. And that's great. And I really respect that. I think it's important. You have a young audience and young people need to hear that,
Thank you, Jordan. The Wolf of Investing is out right now. It's Jordan Belfort. Thank you for coming, brother.
My pleasure. Thanks.
It's The Breakfast Club.
Wake that ass up early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.